Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked off Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will open 3 lines from the top of Daf Hey. You will notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text is an arrow with an indication to look at Daf Dalet Amud Beis. So if you glance back at Daf Dalet Amud Beis, you will notice 3 lines from the bottom, also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, an arrow, which points to the line from which this opening quote of our Gemara comes from. There, the Gemara had introduced a brisa that spoke about a woman that has a vesis. That means she has a fixed biological clock for the appearance of a blood flow. The source mentioned that a woman like that, her staining, the kesem, will metama lemafreya. And why is that? If, after all, a woman that has a fixed time for seeing blood, we know that we say regarding her there is no retroactive tumah, but rather dayo shaita, that it is enough, it is sufficient that we declare her tumah upon the sighting. So the brisa explains that the reason we're metama the stain that she sees on her garment, a blood stain, we will metama that limafreya. That means we'll say that she is tumah for retroactively for the last 24 hours, because a woman like that, a woman that has a vesis, if she were to see a blood flow at an unexpected time, that's what our quote says, she'im tireh shelo yibishas vesto, she would be metama me'eis leis, namely, even though she's a woman that has a fixed time for seeing blood, if the blood would appear at an unexpected time, there would be retroactive tumah of 24 hours. So now, let us open up our Gemara, 3 lines from the top, Kotani. Kotani, in this case, is like the common expression, Omar Mar, a quote from that which has been said earlier. She'im tireh shelo b'shas vesto metama me'eis leis. This was a quote from that source on the bottom of Daf Amud Beis, explaining that the reason her stains are metama lemafreya is because there is within the realm of an isha sheyesh lavesis a case of an actual sighting that is metama lemafreya, and that's the case of a sighting at an unexpected time. The Gemara wants to infer taimo di isha sheyesh lavesis hu de pligi rabbonon ben kisma liriyosa. It is because we're talking about that kind of woman, a woman that has a fixed time for a blood sighting, that the Rabbonin make a distinction between her staining, which does have tumah lemafreya, and her sighting on the expected time that we say daya shaita, namely no retroactive tumah. Ha sha'ar noshim she'omru chachomim dayon shaitan kismon kiri yosan. The inference then is other women, and we're speaking about the 4 categories of women that we have mentioned in the past, a besula, a zekena, etc. Those 4 are women that we have described also as Dayon Shaitan. Those are women that we don't expect to see any blood flow whatsoever. So those kind of women, their kesem will be like their sighting. If they would have a sighting, those four women, they would not have retroactive tumah. So we will say the same thing regarding their staining, there would be no retroactive tumah. So what we're doing here is making a very simple inference. You have, on the one hand, Isha Shiesh Laveses. There, the Rabbanim make a distinction between her staining and sighting. However, the four women that don't expect to have blood whatsoever, there, we won't make a distinction between their sighting and their staining. Money, who would say such a thing? Who would author such an opinion? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus he. In other words, the source that we opened up today's shiur with and the inference therefrom is according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. The Amar of Yudamar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. Kol Hanoshim Kisman Tome Lamafreya. All women, their staining will result in a retroactive tumah of 24 hours. Vinoshim She'omru Chachomim Dayon Shaiton Kisman Kiri Yosan. The women concerning whom we say that their sighting results in immediate tumah and not retroactive tumah, those women, kismon, their staining will be treated the same way as their re'iyah, as their sighting, namely no retroactive tumah. Chutz mitinoikes shel igiyas mana lirois, with the exception of a girl whose time for seeing blood flow hasn't arrived, she's very young. Shafilus dinin shalom luchluchin bedam, even if her sheets were stained or filled with blood, ein choshishin law. We wouldn't consider that a sign of tumah. We would ascribe the stains to some outside source of blood and not coming from her. So we have here a quote from that which Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus holds. Hence the inference that we made above regarding the Noshim Shomru Chacham Dayan Shaitan, we see Kismon Kiriyosan. The Gemara asks, Umi Islay the Rabbi Chanina Kesem Klal. Who says, and we're asking here on Shmuel, who quoted Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, who says that according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, there is a concept of staining and tumah with regard to the four women, even from now onwards. For sure, not retroactively, but even Mikanu Labo, who says that they have any din of kesem? V'ha Tanya, we have a source. Kol Hanoshim, Kismon Tomei. Women in general, their staining results in their tumah. V'noshim shomru chachom dayan shaitan kisman tameh. The women concerning whom we've said that there is no retroactive tumah, nevertheless their staining does result in tumah. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus omer, noshim shomru chachom dayan shaitan ein laim kesem. Those women concerning whom we say that there is no retroactive tumah, they don't even have a din of kesem. Their staining would not result in any tumah. My love, does this not mean ein lohen kesem klal, that they have no laws regarding staining whatsoever? In other words, their staining results in no tumah. So how can Shmuel above claim that the kesem, their staining is like their sighting, when we see from this that their kesem is less than their sighting? In the case of their sighting, there's no retroactive tumah, but there is tumah from now onwards. In the case of the kesem, there's no tumah whatsoever. Lo, the Gemara says this conclusion that they have no kesem whatsoever is not true. Ein lohem kesem lemafreya, avol yesh lohem kesem mikanu lahavo. They don't have retroactive tumah as a result of staining these four women. However, they do have tumah as a result of us noticing a stain from this point onwards.
No, that represents Rabbi Hanina's opinion, who is lenient. He said, Ein lam kesim, and we're interpreting it to mean they don't have any retroactive laws of tumah, but there is tumah mikanu labo. Michlal, we can infer the Tanakama sofar, the Tanakama who is more strict than Rabbi Hanina, he would tell you, afilu the mafreya, that the staining of these four women that we say die on shaitan, their staining would be mitama them retroactively. Is that so? In Rabbi Meir, yes, Rabbi Meir would say that. The Machmir Gabi Ksomim, who is more rigid with regard to his treatment of staining than he is with regard to actual sighting of blood flow. And that means for us that actual sighting of blood flow, when you're dealing with these four women concerning whom we say Dayan Shaitan, their tumah is only from now onwards, no retroactive tumah. Whereas their staining would result in retroactive tumah, Desanya, and here we see it in a source. Kol Hanoshim Kismon Tomil Mafreya, all women, their staining results in retroactive tumah. V'noshim She'omru Chachom Dayan Shaitan, Kismon Tomei L'mafreya, Divrei Rabbi Meir. And those women whom we describe as their blood sighting is mitama them only mikanu labo, like the four women we alluded to before, those women, nevertheless, their staining will result in retroactive tumen. We've dashed underlined it because this is the reason we brought in the source. You see this expression, Kismon Tomei L'mafreya, and it's according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus Omer, Noshim Shomer Chacham Dayan Shaitan, Kismon Kuriosan, those women who have Tumah only from this point onwards, for example, those four women, their staining will be treated like their sighting, namely Tumah Mikan Ulaba. The Tinoikas, a girl, so there are two categories, Aleph, Shigia Zman Oliros, Yesh Lo Kesem, a girl who has reached an age that she would expect to see a blood flow. If she notices a blood stain on her garment, that will result in tumah, mikanu labo. V'sheloigi azmana liros, ein lo kesem. A girl who's very young, whose time for seeing blood hasn't come yet, she doesn't have any din of kesem, of blood stain and tumah at all. What is the time that a girl is considered having arrived at the time she would expect to see a blood flow? When she reaches the age of Na'arus. Yimei Hanu'urim is 12 years and a day. V'amishameshes be'edim v'chulei. The quote here is referring to a woman who, during intimacy, as a preparation for intimacy and after intimacy, she uses a checking cloth. Our Mishnah on Daf Beis Amid Aleph, the opening Mishnah, spoke about Hameshameshes Be'edim Harezu Kepekida. It mentioned that checking that's associated with intimacy counts as a formal checking. And the Mishnah went on to say, "Umimaetes ayad me'es la'es." It will reduce the retroactive tumah that otherwise would have extended back 24 hours if, let's say, a woman checked herself in the morning and found herself to be tahora, and at noon she had relations finds herself tahora. And then later in the day, in the evening, she checks herself and finds herself to be Tamea, we will say the retroactivity goes back to the checking at the time of intimacy, and not all the way back till the evening before. And that's what the Mishnah meant, that it's Mema'etes, the checking of intimacy has the power of reducing the me'es le'es retroactive thing, and the al yad mipkida le'pkida, and also can
reduce the amount of retroactive tumah from one checking to the previous checking. In other words, as we said in our example, she had checked herself in the morning and found herself to be tahora, had intimacy, found herself to be tahora, and in the evening found herself to be tameah. She'll be tameah back to the intimacy and not back to the morning checking.
Let's now continue with the Gemara. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Eid Shelifnei Tashmish Eino Mimait Kipekida. The checking that a woman does prior to the act of intimacy doesn't have the power of a checking and won't have that effect of reducing time from the, let's say, discovery of tumah at the end of the day, so that we wouldn't use the checking prior to intimacy as we'll call it a formal checking with all the powers that we just described of reducing time. My time, why don't we view the checking prior to the act of intimacy with this with seriousness? Omar of Ketino Mishum Shemahumo Lebesa. Since she is full of, let's say, anticipation, or she's hurrying to the act itself. So the Gemara asks, "V'chi mehuma lebeiso mayhavi?" So what? She's hurrying to the act itself. The word, by the way, lebeiso is a euphemism for intimacy with her husband. But so what? She's hurrying to do the act of intimacy. So why does that have any effect? Why does that diminish the value of the pre-intimacy checking? The Gemara answers, Mitoch Shemhuma Lebeso, since she's hurrying to the intimacy, Eino Machneses Lechurin Ulistokin. She doesn't do a thorough checking. In other words, when the white checking cloth is used, there is an insertion to that particular orifice, and there's also an expectation that she does a thorough checking, maneuvering the checking cloth into all kinds of folds in the body, folds in the body skin, to attempt to discover any blood. So since she doesn't do the thorough checking, we don't view it as a formal checking with the power to reduce time with regard to retroactive tumah. At this point in the Gemara, we're employing a triangle as a means of keeping track of the give and take of the Gemara. With the triangle, and we refer to this under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin as a ma'akav, with the point facing upwards, that represents a question, and with the point, with the triangle inverted, that will be an answer or a response. So the Gemara asks a question. Tanan, Hameshameshes be'edim harezu kepekida. A woman who conducts intimacy accompanied with checking cloths, it is considered like a formal checking. And as we said before, that could serve to reduce the amount of tumah eventually when it comes to a retroactive tumah situation. My lav, this source that speaks about Meshamesh intimacy with Edim or the checking cloths, my lav, chad lifnei tashmish v'chad la'achar tashmish. You see, when we've dashed under lifnei, that the checking before the intimacy has significance. One is this source that speaks about intimacy with checking cloths, is it not referring, the plural that is, referring to the one before and the one after? And we have, therefore, a kasha on Shmuel. Loi, that's not the pshat, it's not the understanding. Rather, idi v'idi la'achar tashmish. The source that speaks about our Mishnah, that is, that speaks about the tashmish v'edim, is a reference to two cloths, one for him, his and hers, as they say, but they're both after tashmish, they're after the intimacy. And checking after the intimacy, that is significant. You don't have the svara before of being rushed. Kedisnan, the idea of having a his and hers checking cloth, where the man also
uses a cloth and checks that part of his anatomy to discover if he has on his body any blood that would have come from her.
And the Mishnah says, Derech, this is a Mishnah later in the Masechta, Derech Benois Yisrael, Mishamshis Bishnei Eidim Echad Loi VeEchad La. That it is the way of Jewish women to use for herself and for him a checking cloth. So at this point then, we don't have a kasha on Shmuel. The Gemara asks, though, and this is a question that lasts a few lines, that's indicated by our long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. The kuf that's encircled with the descending vertical dashed line indicates that these lines of Gemara form the question. The Gemara asks, well, hi, my. How can you explain it thusly? How can you explain, like we said, in other words, we're looking at the Mishnah, our Mishnah that is said, HaMashemesh is be'edim, and the plural referring to his and hers. Well, how can you say that? E amris bishlamo chad lifnei tashmish v'chadli achar tashmish. That one is one of the two checking clauses for before and one for after the act, and they're both referring to the woman. Itzterich, I need to be told that it is kepekida. I would have thought without the Mishnah that since she's in haste to the intimacy, she won't do a thorough checking. So the source tells us that it is considered like a formal checking. If both Edim in our Mishnah that speaks about Meshamesh Edim referring to post-intimacy checking, and it's one is for him and one is hers, so pshita, that's obvious that harezu kepekida. The Gemara responds, and there are two responses. Number one, mahu detemo shemo tira tipas dam kecharo usechafeno shichvas zera. One might have brought into question the effectiveness of a post-intimacy checking. And the reason for that is there maybe she actually did see a drop of blood, kecharo, like a mustard seed, meaning a very small drop of blood, but it was covered with the male, with the shichvazer, the semen, because we're talking about a checking after intimacy. And even after Tashmish, maybe we should not consider the checking a thorough checking because of this problem. Kamash Malon, that's what I need the Mishnah to tell us, that Harezu Kepekido, that I'm not going to worry about that situation. Viboy Semo, another approach says, Shtei Bedikos Atzuchur Rabon Achar Lifnei Tashmish V'chad Lachar Tashmish. In truth, the Rabbonin do expect a woman to do two checkings, one before relations and one after relations. Both the woman herself is checking. V'chi kotani harezu kepekida, and the Mishnah that says it is considered like a formal checking, ala achar tashmish. That's going on the checking that is post-intimacy, like Shmuel. Let's glance at the Rashi. The Iboy Esemo, the Olam Chad Lifnei Tashmish Shechad LaAchar Tashmish, VaFilu Hochi. And even so, the expression of Harezu Kepekida Al Achar Tashmish Koi. That's going on the post intimacy checking. The Im Toimar Eid Shelifnei Tashmish Lomu Huskar. If you'll ask, then if the pre intimacy checking doesn't have significance, so why was it mentioned in the Mishnah? The Gemara says, Masnisen Tarti Kotoni. The Mishnah is featuring two points. Vashminen Tono de Masnisen, Dishtei Bedika is Azhur Rabbonon. Two checkings were imposed on her by the Rabbonon. Vahochi Koomar, Umeshameshes Beedim, Klomar, Mitzvah Oleho, Leshamesh Beedim, Veafalpi Shiesh Lo Veses. Mishnah tells us that it's expected of her, it's mandatory of her to enter, to approach intimacy with a checking, even if it's a woman that has a fixed time for seeing blood, and of course we're not talking about that time. Ha-rezu ka-pekida, the expression in the Mishnah that it is considered a formal checking, ha-hu de-la-achar tashmish. That's referring to the checking that she does after the intimacy. And that is in line with Shmuel's teaching. The Gemara asks, V'ho ha-meshameshes kotani? Now this question is extremely brief. So in order to understand what the Gemara is asking, we must learn the Rashi. Rashi continues where we left off, V'ho ha-meshameshes kotani? The lav loshem choyvahu. The expression ha-meshameshes be'edim means, it sounds like a woman who on her own decides to use checking cloths for intimacy. Which, that lashon of ha-meshameshes is, as Rashi says, it's not a lashon of chova, it's not a lashon of something being mandatory. Alma chado kotani. Therefore, the Mishnah isn't telling us two separate points. Umishum harezu kapekida nokat law. And the Mishnah is driving up to the point of describing the checking as a formal checking that will count as a checking with regard to reducing the time that we mentioned before. V'ochikomar, and thusly the Mishnah is to be understood. V'isha ha-meshameshes v'edim, a woman who on her own chooses to use checking cloths for intimacy, ha-rezu kepekida, it will have the status of a formal checking. Akamo namikoi, and it is going on the, it's referring to the pre-intimacy checking as well. The I abasra lechuda, if the harezu kapekida loshon is expression is going only on the post-intimacy checking, rishon lomo huska, why is there any mention made of the checking before the intimacy? So the Lashon of Hamishameshes indicates that we're talking about a woman who chooses, as opposed to a special halacha that the Mishnah must tell us that a woman is expected. No, the woman chooses to have intimacy using checking cloths. So that's not the point of the Mishnah, because we're not describing a mitzvah. We're talking about a woman who chooses to do that. Then the Mishnah says, comes to its point, its main point. Well, harezu kepekida. What's harezu kepekida? What is considered like the like a formal checking? It must be referring to the pre-intimacy checking as well, because otherwise, if it's referring only to the post-intimacy checking, why is there any mention made in the, by using the plural, why is there any mention made of the pre-intimacy checking? So, if it's already mentioned, it must be to give it weight and seriousness as a formal checking, and we have thereby reinstated the question on Shmuel. The Gemara answers, Tni u'mishameshes. And once again, the Gemara is very brief, so what are we saying? We're saying here, don't read the Mishnah with ha-mishameshes, but rather u'mishameshes. Rashi, toward the bottom, Tni u'mishameshes, t'tarti mili ninhu. And in fact, like we said earlier, the Mishnah is telling us 2 points. V'ochikomar, mitzvah leo l'shamesh b'edim. One point is that she has to have intimacy with a pre- and post-checking cloth. V'harezu kepekida, the classification of a checking being a formal checking with all the power that entails. Abasra, that's going only on the post-intimacy checking. V'kamo lonokat lei elashmina de mitzvah livdo kodem tashmish. And the mention of the first checking is only to tell us that is something mandatory, but it's not going to have the weight of a formal checking. The Gemara continues, Mema'etes al yad me'es le'es. Our Mishnah taught on Daf, the opening Mishnah on Daf, Beis Omer Aleph, said that the
relating to intimacy is considered having the strength of a checking, and it's mema'etis al yad me'eis le'eis. It reduces the retroactivity going back 24 hours. The al yad mipkido lepkido, and it reduces the retroactivity with regard to from one checking to the other. Let us say, just to go over the example of the mission again, we mentioned that it reduces the need to go back 24 hours, namely if she checked herself prior to intimacy that she conducted at noon time, and then in the evening at 6 p.m. finds herself to be Tumea. We are taught in the Mishnah that there will be retroactive Tumah till back to noon, and not 24 hours. Furthermore, if you have a woman that checked herself in the morning, which is an expected time for checking, we'll call it a fixed checking time, every morning and every evening. If she checked herself at 6 a.m., had intimacy at noontime, and at 6 p.m. discovered herself to be Tumea, so we say that she'll be Tumea retroactively till noon, in other words, from 6 p.m. back till noon, and not all the way back till 6 a.m. But notice, in the second case, we're saying we're not going to go back to 6 a.m., we're going to go back just till noon. In the first case, we said we're not going to go back when she discovers herself Tumea at 6 p.m., back 24 hours. We're going to go back just till noon, when she had intimacy and she still knew she was Tahora. But once I tell you that I'm not going to go back as a result of the intimacy checking, I go back till noontime from 6 p.m. back till noon, and I don't go back 24 hours, then it goes without saying that I won't go back till the morning. In other words, if I'm able to reduce a large amount of retroactive time, certainly I'll be able to reduce a small amount of retroactive time. The Gemara. Hashto me'eis le'eis mima'etes. The intimacy checking has the power of reducing the 24-hour retroactivity. We continue at the top of Hamad Beis. Mikida lepikida mibaya. Do I have to tell you that it can reduce the 12-hour retroactivity? Ordinarily, if she checks herself in the morning and doesn't have intimacy, but finds herself Tahora in the morning, and at 6 p.m. she checks herself and finds herself to be Tumea, we would say she's Tumea retroactively back to 6 a.m. But now that there is intimacy at noontime, we'll say she is Tumea retroactively from 6 p.m. till noon and not any further. But that's obvious. Once we tell you that the intimacy checking prevents us from going back 24 hours, certainly will enable us to reduce the retroactivity that would have been otherwise 12 hours. So why do I have to tell you that case? The Gemara answers, Ma'u detemo me'eis leis choshubo rabonon lepsega detaras. I might have thought that when we say we don't go back 24 hours because she did do a checking at noontime for intimacy, that's because to go back a full 24 hours, that would cause a loss. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of taros, a lot of things, food items that must remain tahor that she may have handled in the last 24 hours. Avo mipkido lebekido, lo. But from one checking to the next checking, let us say we would have declared tome all the stuff from the evening checking back to the morning checking, even though she checked herself at noontime, but the 12 hours is not as much as 24 hours, and how much stuff could she have handled in that short amount of time? So maybe we'll go back to the last checking anyway. Komash Malon, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, even though there wouldn't be a great loss had we gone back to the previous regular checking, Nevertheless, we won't go back to that point and simply go back to the checking that she did at the time of intimacy. Ketzad daya shaita v'chule. At this point, the Gemara will be explaining the continuation of the Mishnah that on Daf Beis Omer Aleph that had mentioned the case of daya shaita, or the description of tumah that we say from now onwards. The Mishnah went on to say, "Hoisi yeshevas b'mita v'asuka b'taros u'pirsha v'rasa hitmeh v'hein tahoros." So now the Gemara coming off of that says, "Lomali lemisni hoisi yeshevas b'mita v'asuka b'taros." Why does the Mishnah have to give that level of detail in its example, namely a woman who was sitting in a bed handling taharos? Lisni, the Mishnah could have simply said, hoisa asuka betaros upirsha varasa, a woman who was involved with handling taros, and she stopped, and as she stopped, she noticed blood. So why does the Mishnah add this point of her having sat in a bed and while she was involved with the taros? The Gemara answers, ha komash malon, taimo the daya shaita. Daya shaita is another way of saying, of describing a woman that has a vesis. Ha me ace le ace. However, if you were dealing with a woman that we wouldn't say daya shaita, namely a woman that doesn't have a vesis, daya shaita is characteristic of a woman that has a fixed time for seeing blood. However, had we been speaking about a woman that doesn't have a fixed time for seeing blood, she's described as me'es leis, because those kind of women, we say there is retroactive tumah for 24 hours. Mita nami metamya. The mita also would have become tamei. In our Mishnah, we mentioned that in the daya shaita cases, she was sitting in a bed, got off the bed, and then she noticed blood. We say she herself is tamei, but the other things, including the bed, are tahor. Fine, that's because you're dealing with a woman that has a vesis. However, a woman that doesn't have a vesis, where we would say there is a 24-hour retroactive tumah that we impose, that will include the bed as well. The bed will also become tamei. Misayeh le l'ziiri. This point supports ziiri. The omar ziiri me'es le'es shebenida. When we impose a retroactive tumah in the case of a nida, oisa mishkav u'moishav l'tame odem l'tame begodim. It makes not only the woman having a din of tumah retroactively, but the bed or chairs that she sat on within the last 24 hours will take on the din of Mishkav and Moshav, which is a special category in halacha, which states that different types of furnishings designed for sitting or reclining, when they become tumah, they gain a level of tumah whereby they will metama another person and the clothing that he is wearing. So the inference from the Mishnah is coming to tell us that the power of me'es le'es, if that would be the case, would metama the bed and chairs that she sat on within the last 24 hours to give them the din of Mishkav and Moshav, which we just described, whereby those furnishings are able to metama someone else who comes along and sits on them, whereby he would become tamei and the clothing he is wearing as well. The Gemara asks, Michti, Hai Mita, the bed that we just mentioned, Dover She'ein Bodas Lisholhu. Let's, before we go any further, just one major word of introduction. When we speak about Me'es La'es, retroactive Tumah, whereby we said we're going to take in not only the woman herself, but beds and chairs that she may have sat on, this is all a matter of doubt. We know that she sees blood now. We are in doubt. Maybe she had
already a blood accumulation from before. So the issue of me'es leis is called suffek. So now the Gemara is asking, the bed that we are saying becomes tamei, is it not an example of something that's called ein bodas lishol? It's not a person that you can ask of it questions. It's an inanimate object. The chodover she'ein bodas lishol, all kinds of items other than people, other items, they don't have intelligence. You can't ask them questions. Regarding dover she'ein bodas lishol sfeiko tohor, a suffek tumah, which is our topic, the me'es le'es retroactive period is a matter of suffek. The rule, though, is if it's a davar she'ein bodas lishol, in a case of doubt, we will declare it a tohar. So then how is it that when we made the inference above, that if you were dealing with a woman, she'ein lo veses, her me'es le'es, her retroactive tumah, would have included the bed that she was sitting on as well. Why should the bed become a mishkav? Number one, answer one, or approach number one, we'll have a second approach shortly. Tirguma Ziri explains the case of the bed, or the case of the inference concerning the bed, the mito. Tirgum Aziri, kishechavroiseha noisois oiso b'mita. Within the last 24 hours, the nida was carried by her friends while she was in the bed. In other words, her friends carried around her bed with her on it. As a result, the havyo lay yad chavroiseha. The bed is an extension of their arms. So as such, it's an extension of a person, or the her friends. And that makes it into dover sheyesh bo das lishol. And therefore, we can say that a suffik concerning it, like is the case of the retroactive tuma, it will become a mishkov. It will take, the bed will take on a din of mishkov, and hence be able to be metame people and their clothing. A second approach, v'hashtodom Rabbi Yochanan, and now that Rabbi Yochanan has said, and he will be featured on his own in a few lines from now, but now that we know of Rabbi Yochanan's teaching that says, sofek tumo habo bide adam nish olin oleha, a matter of doubt concerning tumah regarding tumah that comes about through a person's intervention, it is called nish'olin aleha. It's something that we will refer to as tumei. Afilu b'kli munoch al gabi karka kemi sheyesh bodas lishol. Concerning sofek tumah bo bidei adam, an example that Rashi gives is a person was carrying around, he was carrying a dead sheretz, and there's a matter of doubt, did a vessel come into contact with that dead sheretz while it was being carried around, while the sheretz was being carried by some person? So that's called a sofek tumah habo'o bidei adam. It comes through the person, and literally through his hands, but as we described, the man was carrying a dead sheretz, and there's a doubt, did the dead sheretz come into contact with a vessel? So Rabbi Yochanan calls that something that's nish'olin aleha. If that be the case, the Gemara goes on, afilu b'kli munach agabi karka, even if you were dealing with a vessel on the ground, kemi sheyesh bo das lishol, it's considered as such, it's considered as that, and that's a code for saying tomei. As a result, afal pi she'ein chavroseha noisos oisa b'mita, even if she wasn't carried around by her friends in the bed, in other words, even though the bed is not going to be considered an extension of the girls, nevertheless, the tumah that affects the bed is coming through a person. It's coming through the woman that becomes a nida. So since the tumah of the bed comes as a result of a person, it's the bed is considered davar sheish bo das lishol, and hence safek will be tamei. Gufa. At this point, the Gemara focuses on that which was mentioned tangentially just before. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Safek Tumah Habo Bidei Adam, Nishon Alea, Afilu Bekli Hamunach Agabi Karka, Kamish Yesh Bo Das Lishol.
A Safek Tumah that comes as a result of a person's involvement makes it Safek Tameh. Therefore, even if you're dealing with a vessel lying on the ground, it's considered davar sheish bo das lishol, and a suffix concerning that kli, since we're talking about a case of the kli, how did the kli possibly become tamei? Because a person may have been carrying something that touched the kli and was metamei. Therefore, even though the vessel itself is something ein bo das lishol, it's considered kamishi yesh bo das lishol.
And therefore, it's a suffix concerning that kli, and its tumah will be tamei. And as Rabbi Yochanan says, even if it's a vessel lying on the ground, meisve, we have a Tanaic source that we raise as an objection. Hoyamisatef betalisoi, person was cloaking himself in his talis. Vitaros vitumos betzido, vitaros vitumos lemalo meirosho.
And while he's swirling the talis around his body to cloak himself with it, there happen to be taros and tumos to his side, and taros and tumos above his head. Could be like on a shelf above his head. Sofek noga, sofek loy noga. Tohor. If there is a matter of doubt whether there had been contact made, the suffix will be ruled tohor. Now the havamina right now is that when it says suffix noga, suffix lo noga, we're talking even in a rishus hayochid, even in a private domain, which usually we say suffix tumah b'rishus harabim is tamei. In this case, we say it's tohor.
Ve'im efshar ilan ke noga tamei. If the place is so squalid that it would have been impossible to cloak himself with the talus while swirling the talus around and cloaking himself without having touched it. If it would have been impossible without contact being made, so then it will be tamei. Before we go any further, let's look into the Rashi who describes the case in a little more detail. Hoyimisate v'taliso v'tarois b'tzido v'hu hoya tomei. And the person was tomei. Sofek timei taros b'talis kishigbio al ksefo sofek lo noga. There is a doubt whether the person was tomei who made his talis tomei, while swirling the talus, did it come into contact with taharos that were either above him or beside him? Oy, another case, tumos betzido, kagon sheretz, vahu tohor. There's a source of tuma off to his side, and the person cloaking himself was tohor. Sofek nitmo taliso, sofek lo nitmo. The doubt concerns the talus. Did the talus become tomei or not? So the source rules tohor. Assume, and we're assuming here even in a private domain, even in Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because you're dealing with something that's an ein bo das lishol. The taros are something that you can't ask of the food questions. They're inanimate. The afalgav de bo bidei odom, even though the talis, which is the vehicle that would have transmitted the tuma, is something being manipulated by a person. Hoyol v'taros munochos algabi kaka v'ein oichson biyado ein nishom aleim. Since the taros are lying on the ground,
and he is not holding the he is not holding them, they can't be considered an extension of the person. They therefore remain Dover She'ein Bo Das Lishol, as the source says that they are. If there's a suffix whether he made contact with them through his talis or not, they remain Tohar. There's the source that we left off. We continue with Rav Shmuel Omer, Omrim Lo Shanei. Rav Shmuel says, if we have any doubts whether there was contact made or not, we say, do it again, wrap yourself again, cloak yourself again. Vishoneh, and he does it. And we look carefully when he does it again to see if there was contact. Omru lo, ein shoinin betaras. The Rabbanan disagrees with Shmuel Eliel, says that we don't do a second checking. We don't, ein shoinin means we don't repeat it. We don't repeat the cloaking. And the reason for that is that maybe now it will come into contact, but before it didn't come into contact, or the other way around. But for our purposes, we ask that we emphasize the question, Amai, why do you say Sofek it is Tohar? Ha Sofek Tumo Habobi De Odom Hu? We're dealing with a person, let's say the person was Tomei, and he's manipulating his talis. The talis is something that's maybe it came into contact with the taros, and the taros are the suffix, are the doubt, and their tuma came about through a human through human intervention. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, a suffix tuma abo bidei adam, we would say, is tomei. Yet the source here rules it's tohar. The Gemara says, "Bar minei dahi." Except for that, the Toni Rav Hoshaya, the source, in other words, don't ask on Rabbi Yochanan from the source we just did, because Rav Hoshaya teaches the as follows. He adds, "Birshus Hayochid Sveiko tomei, Birshus Harabim tohar." So you see that the source itself is learning just like Rabbi Yochanan, that had it been in a private domain, it would be called a Sofek Tumah Birshus HaYochid, and it is considered, it's considered Tomei, and the only way to consider Tomei is because we have classified this Sofek Tumah HaBo Bidei Adam as Dover Shiyesh Bodas Lishoil. Gufa, Omar Ziri. Here we focus on that which we had mentioned earlier, parenthetically, Zeiri's teaching, Me'es le'es shebenida, Oysa mishkov, U'moshov l'tame odom, l'tame begodim. When we speak about retroactive tuma, the bed that she sat on within the last 24 hours will also become Tomei and become like a Mishkov. And the power of a Mishkov is that other people who touch it will become Tomei, as well as the clothes that they are wearing. That's what we mean when we say Oysa Mishkov Emoshav L'tame Odom L'tame Begodim. The Gemara asks, Amy, is that really so? Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that we might want to take note of. We already mentioned in the Gemara itself. On the outside margin, we've written the Nosei Me'is Le'isha Benida Oisa Mishkov L'tame Odom L'tame Begodim. And we note under our Mivneh heading the use of the triangle as a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth style of a Gemara. So with the point facing up, that represents a question, and the point facing down is a response. So the Gemara asks, is it so that the Me'es Le'es retroactive tuma will be imposed on the bed as well? V'ho ki oso avimi mi bechozoi, when avimi came from bechozoi oso, the icy masisa biyada, he brought a Tanaic source with him.
which states Me'esle Shebenido Mishkovo Umoishovo Ke Ma Go O. The retroactive period of 24 hours in the realm of Nida, so her bed and her Mishkov and Moshov, the furnishings that are used for reclining and for sitting, Ke Ma Go O, will have the same din as a vessel that the Nida touched. Ma Go is the touch. My love, does this not mean ma ma go'o, just like vessels that she touched? Now she's an avatuma. The vessel she touches becomes a rishon, the tuma. It goes down one stage, being called a rishon l'tuma. And the result of that is loy mitame odam. The kli that she touched, the ma go'o, vessels she may have touched, are not mitame adam, af mishkava loy mitame adam. So too, the beds as well, that she may have sat on within the last 24 hours, will not mitame some other person that touches it. And that will be a kasha on Zairi. Omar Rava. Rava responds, hence we used an inverted triangle. However, Rava is also a long marking, and that's what you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Rava's response, it's response in a question form, so he says, V'tisbara. He asks on Avimi. Kal v'chomerhu. Concluding that the bed will become Tomei is really the product of Kal v'chomer logic. So for you to say that the Mishkava will not metama a person, that's not following logic. So how does the logic work? Uma kli cheres emukav tzomet posil hanitza bo'el ha-meis eno nitza b'meis leishe benida. A kli cheres is an earthenware vessel, a clay vessel that is sealed. It has a seal over the top. That's called mukav tzomet posil. It has a seal made of clay or of earth that seals it. If that thing, let us say it contains truma, and it is in a oil amase, it's in an overshadow of a corpse, so it's under the same roof as a corpse. Since this earthenware vessel is sealed, it prevents tuma, in the case of tumas mase, from affecting that which is in it. Not only that, we should mention that the kli cheres also remains tohar because it is sealed. So a kli cheres that's sealed is saved from tuma b'oil ha-meis, and yet eino nitzel b'meis leisha b'nida. That means if a nida, let us say a woman had moved this sealed earthenware vessel, the sealed clay vessel, and within 24 hours of her having moved this sealed vessel, she becomes a nida. We say that kli tzomet posil, kli cheres mukav tzomet posil also becomes tameh. So you have this powerful vessel in power in terms of capable of repelling tuma, but it doesn't repel in the case of the me'es le'esha benida. If a bed is in an oil ames, it does not repel tuma. It becomes tame. Eino din she'ein nitzolin beis leisha benida. Certainly, they will become tame in the retroactive tuma we impose on the nida. So, the Gemara now asks, v'ho avimi mibei chozoi masnise komar. But didn't Avimi bring a Tanaic source that said that the beds within the 24-hour retroactive period of time are kimagoa, and that would mean they're not mitama, they don't become a mishkav u'moshav. The beds don't take on the din of a mishkav u'moshav to mitama people. The Gemara answers, Amo,
read his source as follows. This is a rereading of the source, and hence you see we used a frame around it, and this continues down the first few lines of Vav Amud Aleph. Rather say Mishkava Umoishava, the Mishkav and Moshav of the Me'es Le'es Shebenita Ke Mago Atzmo. Don't read it as Mago'o, which is a word that would have referred to vessels she may have touched, but rather the Mishkav and Moshav, her, the beds and chairs that she sat on within the last 24 hours, have a din of things that she herself touched. Ma mago atzmo, if a woman who was a nida touched a person, ma mago atzmo metame odom letame begodim, she would metame the person and the clothing he is wearing as well. Af mishkav u'moshava mitame odom litame begodim. So too, her mishkav and moshav, the beds and chairs that she sat on within the last 24 hours, would take on the same din to mitame person and the clothing he is wearing as well. Tanyo kavosei dorova. Here we continue, third line from the top of Daf Vav Amud Aleph, with a Tanaic source that supports Rava. Haroya Dam. This source has, we use a double underline to divide the source into two topics. The opening speaks about a woman who sees blood, and in the latter part of the source it speaks about a woman who notices a stain on her garment. The Bach changes the order around here, but for our purposes we'll continue with it as it is. Haroya Dam, a woman who sees a blood flow, metame meis leis, she is considered tamea retroactively 24 hours. Uma hi metama, what is included in this tuma? Mishkavos umoshavos, the beds, the chairs, oichlin umashkin, food and drink, ukli cheres amukav tzomit posil, and clay vessels that are sealed. V'eino mikukeles leminyona. This expression really requires a great amount of explanation. So, for further elucidation on this, we recommend looking at the Gemara in Maseches Erechin Daf Ches. But for our purposes, it has to do with the woman's awareness of where she is holding with regard to her Nida Ziva cycle. So a woman who sees blood, she knows where she is holding. She knows that this is now Nida blood, and she'll be Tamea for 7 days. And after that 7 day period, any blood that follows will require her to keep the next day as a clean day, which is called Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. And if she sees 3 days in succession, she becomes a Zava Gadola. So she, being that she is seeing blood, even though we're metamer lamafreya 24 hours, it doesn't affect her awareness of where she is holding on with regard to the nida ziva cycle. V'eino metama es boyalo lamafreya. And if, let us say, she had conducted intimacy within the last 24 hours, the husband who had intimacy with her, he will not become tamei. In other words, even though there is retroactive tuma, but it doesn't include her husband. Rabbi Akiva Omer, mitama es boyala. It does include the one that had intimacy with her. V'eino moino ela misha'a shiraasa. When we speak about the need of a woman to count 7 days from the first sighting, that counting starts from the sighting and not, it doesn't, the counting of 7 days doesn't go back to the 24-hour previous point in time. So she, in other words, very simply put, true, she's declared Tamea retroactively, but her counting starts from the time she actually sees the blood. Haroya Kesim, a woman who notices a blood stain on her garment, Metama Lamafreya, there is retroactive Tuma. Uma hi metama, what is included in the retroactive tuma that is caused by a stain she notices?
Answer, Oichlin Umashkin, Mishkavos Umoshavos, Ukucheres Umukav Tzamit Pasil. All the items we mentioned before. Umukukeles Leminyana. She, as a result of her becoming Tmeil now, she doesn't know whether this is blood. She notices a stain now, but she doesn't know when it came about. Did it come about during her Nida days, or did it come about during her Ziva days? So in order for her to get back on track, she would have to experience 17 clean days. That's 7 and 11. That's let's say that she'd have to have actually 18 clean days, 7 and 11, in order for her to get out of the doubt. In other words, at the end of those 18 days, if she were to see blood, then she would know that she's beginning her Nida cycle again. But in the meantime, her minyan, her counting is out of kilter. Umetama es boyala v'eino moina elo misha shirasa. The kesem, her noticing a stain, will also have an effect on the one that had intimacy with her. However, the counting of 7 days, v'eino moina elo misha shirasa, even though there is retroactive tumah, but the need for her to count 7 days starts from when she noticed the stain. V'zeh v'zeh toilin le'ochlin v'lo sorfin. When we speak about the retroactive tumah, we say that it's metame. Let's say if we're talking about truma, for example, or kachin, we will not burn them, but we will not eat them. Toilin is they remain in suspension. The Gemara asks regarding Rava. The Rava ishmiya lei masnisa. If Rava was familiar with this Tanaic source, lema masnisa, then instead of using the Kal v'chomer logic, which he did, in order to impose tuma on the mishkavos of umoshavos, here you have it in an explicit fashion in the source. So Rava simply could have cited the source, the ilo shmiya le masnisa, had he not had this. If he wasn't familiar with this source, then kal v'chomer minole. Where does he come off? Where does he come up with the kal v'chomer logic that he used? In other words, when you look back at Rava's original statement, he mentioned the kli cheres was not nitzol b'me'es le'shebenida. Well, how would he know that? That is something that is revealed in the source. The Gemara answers, le'olam shmile masnisa. Rava was familiar with this Tanaic source, and if you'll ask, so why didn't he cite it as the response, as his response to Avimi? So Gemara answers, "V'i mimasnisa havamina oy adam oy begodim." That the Mishkav mentioned in the source would mitama either a person who touched the Mishkav or clothing that touched the Mishkav. However, aval odam ubegodim lo. But to speak about a Mishkav that touches a person and without the touches just the person, his hand, let's say, where he's not wearing clothing on his hand, but as a result of his hand touching the Mishkav, the clothing that he's wearing will also become tameh, that I wouldn't have known from the source. That's aval odam uvegodim lo. Mishum hachi komar kal v'chomer. That's why he used the kal v'chomer logic to get to that particular
detail. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.